Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we always, always need you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for being there. Well, look at that. In 2026, God may tell you to do something. Don't come running. Don't run out of the sanctuary now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I need you every day. Well, you know, he needs us. He wants us to do great and mighty things. He's got some big plans. And I pray and I hope for all of us here today, and those that are not with us will be with us throughout the times in this year, that we fulfill, we accomplish, we complete the things in 2026 for what God has maybe impressed upon you and has asked you to do. Maybe it's some things that he has been talking to you about over the last year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. I don't know. But this could be the year. This could be the year to, he's going to say, cast that net. Let go of where you're at. Change from what you're doing. Adjust your time for me this year. And it's not to say that you won't still do things that you need to do for family and work and things of that nature, right? So I'm not trying to get us all ready to go, and we've got some land. I think Paul might have some land. We're in New Mexico. We're gonna transverse out there, and we're gonna pitch tents, and we're gonna wait. I'm not saying that as a church that we're gonna do some crazy things, but I'm gonna say as a church and you individually that you may do some crazy things for the things of God. He's gonna stretch us, reach in, and take you, and you're gonna sometimes feel uncomfortable. But that's okay, because if you know that it is God that's reaching out for you, if it's God that's got your hand, if it's God that's got the plan, that you don't have to worry and be concerned. All you've got to do is do your part and say, here am I, Lord. I don't think I'm ready, but if you think I'm ready, I don't know. But Lord, the most important thing that I can think of and to visit with you on today is, I want to serve you, and I want to do what you called me to do. So last week we had started out in Luke 5. We read verses 1 through 11. It's talking about the fishermen. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and then he came down to the shore, or not to the disciples, but to him. The masses, the multitude pressed him, and he got a hold of one of the guys, had two fishing boats pulled up because they'd been out fishing all night, didn't catch anything, but they were out. Has your life felt like that at times where you've been out all year, haven't done a whole lot? I didn't catch a whole lot, Lord. I don't understand what this year is about. Well, this could be the year that he's going to come as you're cleaning your net and mending your net and getting ready, that he's going to come and say, now come. And we've got to be willing and willing to say, here am I. So he talks to them, and Simon, Peter, he had a boat, and so he got in Peter's boat, and they went out. He says, hey, let's go. I want to teach to the multitude, so I need your boat. So he left the shore, went out a ways, and sat in the boat and taught and shared and visited with the people, the multitudes. After he was done, he said this in verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he says to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. I'm going to say, let go of your past years, let go of your past concerns, worries, and things of serving God, and let's go. Let's go. You go and see what God has in store, what God has planned for you. It could be the very year for you to find out. Amen? And it could be a year of preparation again, right? We continually prepare to go, and go. But the most important thing is, once you've been prepared, and he's fulfilled that preparedness at that level, what do you got to do? Go. Got to go. For all the preparation was for naught. Why should he continue to prepare you, 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 and all you're going to do is just sit. And say, well, Lord, I just don't think this is the right time. Well, Lord, I just, don't you think the Lord knows the time? And he's going to sometimes pull on us to do these things. But launch out now, he says, into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. We've talked about that. We shared about that. You can go back and catch last week's message if you would like. Remember in that one catch that night, they had like a ton of fish. It said close to like a ton, which would have been like 2 weeks worth of work. 2 weeks worth of work, not just 2 days out of 2 weeks. It's like a whole week's worth and another week's worth of the weight of fish that they pulled from that net when they retrieved the net from casting it into the deep. So we got to that part. Jesus wants to show us a new way to live that goes beyond our expertise, beyond our years of experience or understanding. He wants us to go past what we know to be true. So this phrase is symbolizing stepping beyond the comfort zone. And that's what keeps a lot of us hemmed in to what not going and fulfilling what God has for us as we stay in the comfort zone. We need to trust God's word over our experiences, over our understandings of what we in the natural think or see. We got to trust God's word. We need to enter a deeper commitment to faith. This is taking a faith leap, not sometimes a step, but it could be a faith leap. Leap into the deep with your faith. I shared, I think Psalms 139:8, I believe. It speaks of God's presence in the deepest places, showing this, that his all-encompassing reach. So I'm going to tell you, if he has asked you to launch out into the deep, you can't get so deep that you get away from him. He is already in your deep. Amen? You're not going to go past his abilities. He will be there. He's there. He's already there. The day has already been there. We just need to get ourselves into that period of time. Coming to trust God, explore deeper spiritual life. You need to maybe increase your spiritual life a little bit more. You've got to get connected more through that of the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide, to teach, to hear the voice of God by that of the Holy Spirit speaking into you. He's going to possibly give opportunities that are new to you, unfamiliar places, resulting in profound growth of your spirit and rewards. It's going to take on risk, relying on God's guidance, experiencing great purpose beyond ordinary efforts. Great. Could you imagine experiencing great purpose of God or with God for your life beyond your ordinary efforts? It's doing the supernatural. It's doing the miraculous. And God is a God of supernatural and doing the miraculous. Many times when things have come about that we don't know how to explain it, many times we say, but God. How did this happen? I don't know, but God. How were you healed and all the things that were done? I don't know, but praise God, but God. And I pray that 2026 will give you a lot of but God was in it. Amen. So how some important meanings that we can glean from this, and this is where we stopped last week. We do that by trust and obedience. Obeying Jesus' command despite the practical doubts. Why? What's the practicality of it? They had been out already all night. Hadn't got anything. Came back to shore early morning. Decided, well, let's get our nets ready for tonight. So to do that, we got to clean out the seaweed, mend them if they got holes, get them, kind of wash them up, keep them clean, and get ready for the next night. Obeying Jesus' command despite practical doubts will lead to a miraculous outcome for the situation. So trust and obedience. We look at trust. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. See these things in God's word. He does not tell us to lean on the Lord or trust in the Lord with half of your heart, a little bit of your heart, a little bit of your thoughts. It's everything with God, it's like all. Give me your all. Because why is that? Because God has already given you his all, that of Jesus Christ. So as he is already invested in you, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, for those that have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God has invested everything that he's going to invest. He's done everything that he is going to do, he's already done. Nothing new is coming out from that of God. He has it planned, prepared, and he's ready to unload it, or he's ready for you to open it. When you are hearing and following and being obedient and trusting him with all of your heart, and to get away from understanding your own thoughts. Your thoughts will hold you down. Your thoughts will restrict you to the things that you see in the natural. Why is that? Because we live in the natural. We see things, we hear things, we touch things, we smell things. It's all in the natural. We've got to move past that to realize that what God has, it's those things in the spiritual realm, but yet they do feed into the natural because we're on the natural side of this life, and he's wanting us to do things to serve him, to expand him around us, and to be an example to those, and to do the things that God would ask us to do. God was spirit back in the day, and he worked through that of who? Jesus, who had flesh and bone like us. He worked through the prophets, the disciples. They were material, they were flesh, they were on this side of heaven, and he was using them to proclaim and to move his agenda along. After the New Old Testament and the sin that came in, God continued to have things already prepared. Don't you believe that? That we got into that of Jesus was already there for that purpose. And so we've come through that of Jesus as that example, but Jesus had to come first because God wanted us to be spotless, without sin. And the only thing he could send was like that of his son, who knew no sin, to become sin for us that had sin to be cleansed. So on God's timetable, God has this all worked out. When Jesus came into your life at whatever year or age you were at, it was on God's timetable to see where that was at, and he knew those things were going to transpire. He already knows those that are going to doubt him. He already knows those that are going to turn away from him. He already knows those that are not going to receive him. As much as it hurts him, not all are going to heaven. For his word tells us, wide is the way to destruction, narrow is the way to that of eternity and to that of what God has or that of heaven, right? So God already knows these things, but he would desire that we would all come back to him, for we all come from him. Even the vilest person out there, guess where they came from? God. He knew that person in the womb of the mother before that baby was born. And he knew and he knows what the destiny of that person is. But he's given us, as well as all of us, them and us and you and me concluded, is that of what? A free choice, a will. You all have a will here. And it depends on how you want to use that will. Do you use your will to satisfy yourself? Or do you, after learning and hearing of that of God and Jesus dying for you and the plan that God has for you, are you willing to take your will and says, not my will, Lord, but whose will? His will. Jesus was that example for us to learn from. We need to read God's word in the Old Testament. We need to read God's word in the New Testament. We need to see what it talked about, how it was worked and how it developed and what it did in each and everyone's life. And that of Sunday school, we learned that he will use things and people that you would expect him not to use because of their way of life. But God, again, has the plan. And God knows where it's going. What we've got to do is we've got to get into that of God's plan so that we can kind of get a sense of it. Not that we will know it from the beginning to the end, for only God knows the beginning of your life to the end of your life and everything in between that. And what's going to, he knows what you're going to do at 2 p.m. this afternoon. And add any time seconds after that. God already knows. He sees you there. What I pray and hope, and, you know, that's like, Lord, necessarily that, that type of frame, but I want to be able to talk with my God to say, Lord, I hope I am found where I am to be at the place you want me to be on your time schedule. That is called being obedient to that of God, trusting him. Psalms 37:5, commit your way to the Lord. You got to commit your way. You got to commit 2026 to him. You got to commit Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you name it. Commit your days, your time, the year, the month, totality to that. Commit your way to the Lord. And you got to be willing to say, Lord, if I'm not on your way, would you place me in on that path? Set my feet on the path to stay. Guide me and lead me, Lord God. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with, here again, all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Now we're going to add 6 into that. We'd already talked about 5, but in 6 it goes to this. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do you acknowledge him? Or do you acknowledge him or do you ignore him? There's times in my past I ignored him. I had my thing to do. How about you? I was like, I'll catch up with you later on, God. Catch you down the road, God. I'll catch you next week, God, on Sunday when I get back to service, you know? So we are on that path, but we've got to acknowledge him, and we got to understand that he will straighten that path out. I got so tired. We all know that the shortest distance between two places is A to B is straight, right? How many times in our lives have you been on that winding road? The devil has done very good at putting a lot of curves and bends, dips and valleys, hills and bumps, mountains, and ravines. And if you by chance, sometime back, and it'll probably be this year too, if you get a chance to traverse through Janesville, be a lot of orange barrels and closed lanes. So that's just construction. So in all of our lives, you know, God is looking at this. And the devil puts, I'm tired of devil's orange barrels directing me off of the path that I need to be on. Amen. And those orange barrels are there to guide you over this way, but I don't want to go that way. But the barrels lead you that way. That's life. The barrels of life. The barrels of life. So, the enemy has a lot of tools at his arsenal, at his ability, at his beck and call to guide every one of us off of what the path that God has for us. But I believe God will stop, and what better time than the beginning of a new year to say, stop. Stop. Pay attention, my children. Launch out. Get back in your boat. Get off of the shore. Get out where I'm telling you to go. And look out. Look out. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts here in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Who do you trust? Who are you trusting in your life? How are you navigating this thing called life? Are you trying to navigate it on your own ability, on your own understanding? Many of us have. Many of us are still doing it. Some of us have come from that. He is like, talking about the blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. How many here want to be? He, you, me, Tim. You'll be like a tree planted by the water. that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. You're going to go through turmoils and trials and things. But I'm going to tell you, if you're planted next to that of that stream and your roots are in that of God, your leaves will be green when everybody else around you is brown. And they'll look at you saying, "Oh, you tree that's so green, how are you that of green?" And you will say, "It's because of my relationship with my Lord and planted by the stream." Hey, I got a rhyme. I'm going to put children's books together now. Because see, if I am planted by that stream, because why? I'm blessed. Why is that? Because I'm trusting in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. You'll be like a tree planted by the water. You're going to send out roots and to that by the stream. You're not going to fear when things don't work right. You're not going to fear when things don't happen the way you think. You're not going to fear when the heat comes. Because when those things don't work right and they don't come about, you're still going to be green. You're still going to be okay. You're going to be pliable. The green is able to, you got life, you're able to bend. We got to be able to bend in our lives with the things of God. Because they don't always go the way, and sometimes we talked about it in Sunday school, about the presumptuous of us to think like, I think I got God's idea now. No, you only got about a third of it, and now you're taking off running wildly. Wait till you get all of it before you take off and run. But we get into that. But we got to be pliable, and we will if we remain by that of the stream, and we'll remain by that of the stream, because it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." They, Peter, didn't know what he was doing other than, it's okay, this guy is saying, launch out. Okay, now he says, cast your net. Okay, so is what you say. Isn't that what he said? What about obedience? It takes obedience, it takes trust, it takes obedience. In Acts 5:29, Peter, it says, "But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than men.'" That's when back in the day, leaders around that time were wanting them to change their stories. They were wanting them to follow them. They were wanting to say, discount those things of what you're doing and follow us. Well, goodness, that's a pretty interesting time frame there. In verse 22, Acts 5:22, it starts off where it's the apostles are on trial again. "But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, 'Indeed, we found the prison shut securely. The guards are standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside.' Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest," all these big guys, "heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be." Verse 25, "So one came and told them, saying, 'Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' The captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. When they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest, and asking them, saying, 'Do we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us.' But verse 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and says, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" There's a time and place coming where we're going to need to obey God rather than men. Now, I know his word says that we honor and we respect the government and the authorities and those over us and ruling us and things like that. But when they go off kilter and they go against the things of God, it kind of gives you a thing like, I can't follow that anymore. I've got to stand with what my God says. But we must obey God rather than men. That's being obedient. 11:28 in Luke says, but he says, "Blessed rather those who hear the word of God and keep it." How many people hear the word of God and it goes in one ear and out where? The other. Or they think, well, that's not for me. It must be for you. In verse 27, Luke 11:27, "And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that which nursed you.' But he said, 'More than that, Blessed are those who hear the word and they keep the word. And a footnote about 27 and 28, it says in my Bible, it may indeed be a privilege to have a close human relationship with Jesus, but it is much better to have a spiritual kinship manifested by obedience to the word of God. It says a lot when you obey. Another part of Luke, in Luke 8:21, but he answered and says to them, my mother and my brother are these who hear the word of God and what? Do it. Just do it. So that's part of how we are going to launch. That's how God is going to take us, maybe in this new year of 2026, into these things that we're not used to or thinking that we've got to be stretched in some of these areas. So that is part of that obedience. Jeremiah 7:23 basically is saying, I give you this command, obey my voice, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Walk in the way I command you, that it may be well with you. Walk in the way that I command you. As God is commanding each of us to walk in the way of His way for your life, for this time, for this season. He will be there with you. Now, the other area we looked at here would be faith. Deeper faith is moving beyond a surface belief. Many of us have just a very superficial, surface level of faith with God. It takes much faith. It takes great faith. But, you know, you can have faith as a mustard seed and it'll develop. But it talks about these things that our faith has to develop and grow. As you get closer and you fulfill more of the things that God has for you, your faith is going to have to, it's got to grow. Because He's going to ask you to do things that you're not familiar with. He's going to ask you to do things that you are unsure of how it's going to turn out. You might have an inkling of it, but you don't know the fulfillment of everything. So that's going to take an important part of faith to be developed and to grow and to have a deeper faith. Moving beyond just the surface belief, but getting into that deeper and possibly could be, as you would look at it, risk-taking relationship with Christ. We would look at it as risk-taking, but if the Lord is in it, He's got the risk, and He will see you through it. But it's going to take those times with Him, developing, learning, growing, meditating, praying, searching Scriptures, being closer to Him, when He's got a task for you to do that might really look at taking me beyond my normal relationship or taking a little bit of a risk. Do you not think it was a risk for me to leave my employment with four kids still in school? But those are risk-taking things, and I'm not saying you need to do that because you've got to hear from God. You've got to hear from God that you know you've heard from God. You've got to put trust and faith out there. You've got to be tuned in. You've got to say, Lord, correct me. Lord, straighten me out if I'm fallen off in, or if I've fallen into error. Help me, Lord. Speak into my life. Have you gone to God and say, Lord, correct me. If I'm not where I need to be, correct me. I feel once we do that, once I did that, I had to wait and hear. And be willing to hear, be willing to obey, be willing to trust, be willing to do whatever He had asked me to do. But it takes a deeper faith. Faith is like in Romans, so faith comes from hearing, 10:17, and hearing through that of the word of Christ. You've got to hear from that of God if you're going to move further and deeper with Him into things of what He's got for you. It is not going to be able to be achieved through superficial surface level faith. You have got to have a faith that goes deep. As far as your roots in digging in and being planted by that stream goes down, your faith has to be boring down into that ground as deep as everything else, because it's going to take that faith root, that's going to continue to feed you. Remember, the roots go down to bring nutrients into the tree and the life and the leaves. Well, if you have a deep faith root, your faith is going to continue to be nurtured and developed. and it's going to be fed to where it will get stronger and take on more, more. We want to go more with God. Amen. I don't want to just go so far with God and stop, do you? Why is that? Because the little that I've stepped out with Him and the distance that I've gone so far from the shore or from that boat or whatever the case might be, is that the more I've gone, the further I've seen more of Him and His help and His word and His strength and His love. You reach out and you go further with Him, and you're going to find these things that He is going to be there with you. Why is that? What did He say? I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? So if He's not going to do that, why do we have a fear? Why do we fear we're going to get so far away from God or ahead of God that He's going to lose us? He knows right where you're at. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the beats of your heart. My goodness, He's a God that knows it all. So why should I be worried if I'm following Him obediently with faith, with trust? We've talked about this already in Hebrews 11:6. It's, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. He will be rewarded. Weren't the fishermen rewarded as they listened and obeyed to what Jesus said to do? To go out, to launch out, to cast the nets? You know, and Peter did that, and then his friends on the shore saw that, and they came out there. So it might just take one time of stepping out to be able to see the totality of what God has for you, and it just begins to mushroom from that. Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will have received it, and it'll be yours. This is faith. Therefore, doesn't also His word tell us, you have not because what? You ask not. We're going through this life on this journey, and we're trying to figure it out. And sometimes it would be so easily to be figuring it out if we just go to the source. Go to the source. Go to God and say, oh, Lord, Father, I'm going to pray about this. And Lord, I know You hear my prayers. And Lord, I'm going to listen and listen and listen to hear Your voice come back. Speak to me in that Holy Spirit. Speak to my spirit by Your Spirit. Let there be some solidifying. Let there be some things that begin to develop, and I can see it happening. Amen? Wouldn't that be exciting? I know you are. Please, hold it down. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. See, we've got to get out of the sight of this world and get into the unknown, the sight of the spiritual realm, to know that that's where this is all battling. This is where we're all at. We need to leave this world. Goodbye, world, goodbye. You know? Now, you know, we're going to go to heaven like that, and I think that's what that's talking about. But I think even walking in this world, we've got to tell this world, goodbye, world. I'm no longer connected into this thing. I'm connected into a much bigger kingdom, a much bigger thing, that of God's kingdom upon this earth. And Lord, I want to see it come about. I want to see what You've got planned. But didn't you hear the news yesterday and the tragedies? Yes. Didn't you see the news last week? Yes. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of bad. There is a lot of bad. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of good. And when we hear that and we see these things, isn't there a scripture out there somewhere that tells us that when sin comes in, grace rises higher? God will raise that standard. When sin comes in, God is ready to take that standard and just raise it higher, because God is not going to get down in the muckety muck of this life. You cannot get into the muckety muck of this life and stop your growth with that of God, holding on to everything this world tells you to keep you in the muck and the mire, because God brought you out of the miry clay. Set my feet on the rock to stay. Hallelujah. But that's how we live. That's how we survive in this life. How are the people surviving out there that don't have God? How? Wing and a prayer? Probably just a wing and a whatever. Not even a prayer. They don't pray because they don't believe in God. It's like, I don't believe in God. I'm not going to pray. But they're like that kinko ball, or what is that thing? Pinko or blanco or whatever? Blanco? that goes down through that thing, goes ding, 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 ding. Planko. Remember, there used to be a game show like that. Yeah. There's other, that they had, yeah, and there's this other thing that used to be, yeah, you drop this little disc in and it goes bling, 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 bling. Yeah, that was a lot of Bob Barker. Man. Wow. But that's how people go through life. They're just going down, hitting one little thing, bing, over to here, bing, back over here, bing. They don't know where they're going. Get out of that. With a child of God, you know where you're going. Oh, I know where I'm going. When this life is over, and when he says, you're done, Tim, I'm going to call you home, it's there. And I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there, but I'll figure out something. Jump the curb, jump the curb, jump the curb. I don't know. Do they have curbs in heaven? I don't know. And my God, let me. Okay, Tim, here's your street. It's got curbs, okay? Jump all the way, feel happy, whatever you want, Tim. Okay. But we need to walk by faith. Your sight will kill you. Your sight will cause you to run the wrong way. You got to have spiritual eyes, spiritual sight. You got to see through the smoke and the haze. Remember that I sent that out like on that missed that thing on Wednesday or Thursday or Tuesday about, you know, I don't know, I wrote it about the fog, and but the sun was still above the fog, just like that. If you've got fog in your walk through that of God today, there's still the sun, S-O-N, above that, and he'll get you through it. I don't know, they just came to me sitting in the parking lot in the fog. I sit there, I was in the fog. But we got to see with spiritual eyes, not the earthly eyes, because earthly eyes will scare you, and they will hold you back, and they will cause you. Have you ever seen somebody that was so scared they couldn't run? Fear caused them to just stop. And that was not good. Well, let's see. We're going to get down. We'll finish this maybe right through here. Purposes. Now, this is all how we're going to experience these greater things, stepping out 2026. Trust and obedience is going to get you there. They had to listen. Peter listened to what Jesus said. He followed that. They have to have a little bit deeper faith, of course. The spirituality was growing and things of that nature. Purpose and calling. We need to discover a greater purpose for your life. Folks, there is more to you than what you think. Just like that of superficial faith, you're just seeing the very superficial area of what your life is about here. It's good. You've accomplished, you've gained, you do this, you've got that. But we still have to get deeper into those things, realizing that there's a greater purpose for your life. It wasn't just to come and to succeed in the man's ways. It wasn't just to come to make money, to have this or that, or a house and a home and a car and all these things. There's a deeper purpose and a reason why we're here, and we've got to discover that. And I hope in 2026 that we can discover that as a group and as individuals, that we can begin to explore more of what God has for us, because it's just barely opened up. Just barely opened up. So we need to discover a greater purpose for our life. We need to fulfill the plan that God has for us. We've got to, here's one, you got to move from a loose relationship with God. Loosey-goosey. You can't be loose with that of God. Many people just have, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out, I'm out, I'm in, I'm in, I'm out. Feels like, you know, whatever the waves are doing, I'm in, I'm out. We got to say, I'm in when the wave is coming in, and I'm in even though the wave is going out, like that of on the end of a beach. We've got to be solid. We've got to be strong. We've got to be connected to the things of God more so than the things of this life. So we need to fulfill the plan that God has. We need to move from being a loose relationship. I had a wonderful loose relationship with God years ago. I didn't feel anything. Right? I would pray. I knew there's God, and if somebody was seriously ill or whatever, my dad had the heart attack, I prayed and asked God to heal him and things like that. But that was kind of a loose relationship with God. You know, I think people that just nonchalantly pray their food. That's just a loose relationship with God. It's something that, you know, oh, we always did this, so we just do this, and it's good. But times when we pray, do you ever bless the staff that served you? Do you bless the people that fixed it? Do you ask the blessings, you know, my goodness, on just anything and everything, because you realize there's so much that goes in to this life. So move from a loose relationship with God to having a deeper one. Let God take control. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Often interpreted as cease striving and know that I'm God. So many people fight against God. They just want to fight against, no, I just don't feel this, I don't want to, God. But they don't realize God is going to be a lot stronger, and if he's got a task for you, he's going to keep, I would say, dogging you to the point of you're going to feel it and feel it and feel it until maybe you're miserable, and it's like, okay, God, you win. I'm going to surrender to you. And after you do that and everything kind of goes out and it's really nice, you go, why didn't I do this 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 days ago, whatever the case is. Be still and know that I'm God. Be exalted. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart. Man, we all have plans. How many here had plans when you got out of high school? Married, job, career, get out of the house, you know? I thought that's what you had to do and needed to do. You get out and you go. You have to have the drive to go and accomplish and to have just plans, the plans that we have. We all have these plans, and they're good plans. They get you into life cycles of doing things. But then along that cycle, I've got to thank God that God came along at the right time, and I heard him, and I changed at that point in time. But from that age of 19 to like 39 or 40, 40 is when I kind of hit it stronger now with God. Ever since 40, I would say. So I don't know. 20 years, I was doing life. Building this, doing that, having a family, teaching kids, raising kids. See, we're designed that way, should be, kind of really, you know, as we come into life and we are raised by parents and go to school and come out, it's like, I want to get a job. And our career fields change how many times from what it started out to be anyway. You know, it is, and it still is that way. But we come out into life, and life is here, and we're going to do, and we're going to move, and we're going to take care of these things. Many are the plans in people's hearts. We all, in a person's heart, we have those plans. But eventually we get to that level to with a deeper relationship with God, and we begin to hear God a little differently. We begin to look and say, you know what? What I did was not wrong. But where I'm at now and with that of God, it's where God wants me to be and wants me to go in this direction, whatever the case might be. But we got to find that it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. I was so thankful and happy when God says, Tim, you can choose what you want to do. This door to serve me, this door to stay in your career and do whatever you're doing in your career. And he says, whatever you do and whatever you choose, you will succeed and I will be with you. See, God wasn't beating me over the head to say, now, Tim, here's these doors. You serve me. It's going to be a blessing. Oh, you can do what you want and serve this door and man and stay in your job and what you're doing. And I'm just going to make it. He gave me a choice. Both were good. But what was he doing? My heart. Where is your heart at, Tim? And when he said it, I was like sitting in the car with me. I will make you, you will succeed in whatever you do. I think it was because that was kind of instilled in me in raising and being whatever and going out, building a family, kids, wife. But when God gets a hold of you, he will still supply those things. But he also might have a little deeper things with you. But he wants to see where our heart is at. Well, God, let me stay where I'm at. And I'll serve you when I retire from Walmart. And he was so gentle and kind. So, Tim, you want to give me your leftovers? That's what he said. Tim, you want to give me your leftovers? No. No. Many times we want to give God our leftovers after we have a fun time in life. Well, we got to get to that point in a relationship with him to where you say, God, my relationship with you is more important than anything in this life. Anything in my career. My most important thing is I want to please you, Lord. Do you want to please the Lord? That's all he is asking us to do. Please me. Be here with me. Let me walk this out with you, Tim, or put your name in there. For I have this plan and direction for you already prepared. But you can go the world's route or whatever you want to do there. That'll be okay. Now, when you get built a relationship and it begins to bubble over to a relation closer to that of God, because you know what he did in sending Jesus Christ to die for me, and to think that he has a plan for me and that God is the mighty God, it's like, why would anybody want to turn from that to say, I want to do my own thing, and then I've got time later, I'll come and do what you want, God. I want to be on God's team right away. How about you? And then one last time, I think we'll stop in that area because it's like 10 till, 5 till. Because I want to get into, we can finish this out about letting God take control, spending time in God's Word, of course. And then next week we should wrap it up with things that God wants us to do. God's got a plan. He's going to have his plan, and I want to be in his plan. My. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We praise you and give you the glory right now. Lord, with great expectation for 2026, Lord, for myself, my family, my wife and me, Lord, I pray for those that are here, for their families, for their relationships, for their spouses, Lord, and oh, Lord, the things you've got planned and prepared for all of us in 2026, Lord, we might find it, Lord, that we've barely just begun with you when we think we've already been there for a long time. That, Lord, there's more, so much more. Father, 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 lead us and guide us and direct us. Lord, speak into our spirit. Let us hear from you, Lord. Give us confirmations. Affirm within us, Lord, the things that maybe, yes, we are doing according to your way and that you're pleased with us, Lord, whatever it might be. For those that need encouragement and need an attaboy, you're doing it. Yeah, you're there. Come on, keep going. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, continue to open up this year our walk with you so that we honor you and glorify you and we rise up to another level with you to bring honor and glory to you in all things we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.